Global oil prices have fallen sharply from recent highs, even though sanctions are cutting off supply from Iran. This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. When one of the world's major oil producers is barred from the market under sanctions, you would expect prices to go up. But U.S. crude settled in bear market territory yesterday, while Brent, the global benchmark, has fallen 19% from its recent high. BNP Paribas head of commodity strategy, Harry Chilingurian, explains.
What we're looking at is oil essentially correcting on several factors. One is the de-risking in equity markets. Two is aggressive communication by Saudi Arabia to tap in its spare production capacity. And finally, waivers that have been given by the U.S. administration to certain countries that haven't been interpreted, if you will, by the U.S. administration going soft on Iran. So we are going to be losing that oil, and we're also going to be losing oil from Venezuela. And so we think that this is just temporary in terms of the weakness in oil prices. And by the time we get to winter, we're going to be closer to $80 rather than $70 on Brent.
So you think that demand is still going to go up?
Absolutely, because we don't see any evidence of an economic slowdown impacting oil demand. And in addition, oil demand seasonally rises over the winter period in the Northern Hemisphere. So whatever we may lose potentially from the economic drivers of oil demand, we are going to make up by the seasonality that accompanies winter and the higher demand for heating fuels.
Now, in the U.S., a judge has halted construction of the Keystone Pipeline project. That was supposed to reduce reliance on foreign oil. So is that going to affect prices?
That is a very regional development. The Keystone XL extension pipeline is critical for market access to oil producers in Canada. Benchmark Canadian crude WCS ends up discounting heavily to the benchmark U.S. crude WTI.
Harry Chilingurian, let's do the numbers. A drop in energy stocks is leading a broad decline in European markets, and that's as Brent crude is on track for a 3% weekly decline. The British pound is lower after new figures showed the UK economy grew at its fastest pace since 2016. Now, one country in particular that's going to feel the pain of sanctions on Iran's oil is Greece. Its merchant shipping fleet, the biggest in the world by tonnage, is also the largest transporter of Iranian oil. The BBC's Stav Dimitropoulos is in Athens.
Greece's merchant shipping fleet is the biggest in the world. It accounts for 20% of all global seaborne trade. It counts 4,479 ships, 35% of which are oil tankers, and employs 200,000 people.
I'm guessing a lot of those shipping companies have some kind of business link to the U.S., so they are going to be pretty careful about not breaking sanctions on Iranian oil.
Exactly, yes. Most of these shipping firms are on the U.S. stock market, so not complying with Trump's orders means great risk for them. Trump has made it clear that they will be banned from doing business with the U.S. and from using American ports, so the risk is too high.
Is there a worry about how the shipping company, the shipping sector, is going to cope with this?
There is definitely great worry, but on the other hand, the worry is mostly for ordinary Greek citizens, for employees in the shipping industry. We should stress that Greek shipping firms pay close to zero taxes. It will not change much in the way of the Greek tax revenue collection.
Stav Dimitropoulos. Just over half the world's population is believed to be without internet access, and this digital divide is top of the agenda at the Global Web Summit in the Portuguese capital, Lisbon. The BBC's Benji Guy reports.
Traditional Portuguese drummers got proceedings off to a banging start before Tim Berners-Lee, inventor of the World Wide Web, took to the stage and told the audience a powerful statistic.
We are almost at the point where half the world will be online. Everything we do in this community to make the web more and more powerful, we increase the digital divide.
So what kind of impact will this have? Azim Azar is an entrepreneur and author of the weekly newsletter Exponential View.
Ensuring that if there are people who are excluded or who are less fortunate, that we can include them in these innovations is critical.
One organisation trying to do just that is TechFugees, set up 3 years ago by Josephine Goob.
TechFugees is a global platform for refugees. Intergrit is an app that is working with municipalities to provide local personalized content in the language of refugees so they can get settled in their new place and get connected to local people to help them. We don't want to make them two times refugees of this world and refugees of the digital world.
Many of the world's poorest people in developing countries are unable to utilize the power of the web. Eddie Barotti works for Paytech, a new fintech payment services company in Mozambique.
If you came in Europe and you're searching for a book, you can read it online. But as in Mozambique, it's difficult to have access to internet and you cannot have the same facilities to learning. So now we're investing on local developers and the government is founding tech solutions.
So while the threat of the digital divide remains, there are people across the globe working to narrow the gap.
Benji Guy reporting there. Now, before we go, yesterday we did a segment about a Dutch man who was lobbying to change his age on a popular dating site. A point of clarification that our reference to a choice around amending gender and sexual orientation was specific to the options given on that dating site. Remember, you can catch our podcast wherever you get yours. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report coming to you live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.